This is Bo Spearham and Karina Hogan with Let's Talk.
Good morning and welcome to Let's Talk. Before I go on any further, I'd like to acknowledge the traditional owners on this land we are broadcasting from. I'd also like to pay my respects to our elders and also our elders of more recent arrival. And a big shout out to everybody around the continent that is taking our program via the National Indigenous Radio Service, NIRS, and all the mob that are tuning in via our app, 98.9FM, for the best country. Just remember, you can download that for free for your device, and it would be really, really good if you can listen in these current times that we're faced with. Or go to our website, 98.9fm.com.au. Are those platforms beaming us into your communities? And as always, it is great to have your company, but you can listen via our website as well. Also joining me in another studio. Good morning, sister.
From afar. Hi, Bo. Hey. You can't see us, but Bo is in a separate studio and I can see him just down the hall.
Yes.
We're practicing safe distancing today here at 98.9 FM.
Yes.
How are you, Bo?
Good, sis. Good. How are you going in that studio all by yourself?
All the way over here. I'm feeling really isolated, but that's how you're supposed to feel at the moment because we need to make sure that we keep up this social distancing that everyone's talking about, right?
Indeed, we do. So we've got a pretty good show planned today. We also have a really, really good interview with First Nation sister girl from Victoria, who's based in the UK. Got some breaking news from her as well. We might go to that, I think, a bit first. To kick off the program, but if you want to let everybody else know what else you have planned for the program.
Yeah, so this week we've been doing what we can do and what's in our control, because at the moment, as we all know, there is very little that's in our control, but what we're trying to do here at 98.9 is to keep those messages clear and concise for mob so that you guys have a clear understanding of what's going on out there in Australia and now even around the world. So my colleague and sister girl, Bridget Brennan, and she's the Europe correspondent, and she's been over in London for about 18 months. We spoke to her earlier this morning, and at the moment there's 6,500 cases in the UK. So we thought we'd have a yarn with her and see what's happening over there and how mob or expats are being taken care of over there, and also have a look at you know, the fact that these job losses have really hit hard here in Australia. So how are they dealing with it over there?
And
maybe we could learn something. I mean, yesterday, Bo, there was a massive big lineup at the Woodridge Centrelink when I went down Station Road there. Mm-hmm. Well, not many people that are listening will know where that is, but going down the road, there was massive lineups.
All over the place.
Not just here. So I saw online that there were some down in Sydney.
In Marrickville.
Marrickville. There were, just lined up right around the block. And this morning we were listening to Linda Burney, the federal minister. One of the senators.
Yeah, for the Labor Party.
And so basically she was saying you can jump online. But I had a friend yesterday who tried to get online and it had been crashed. So, but what I would do is I'd encourage people to, as best as you can, you know, use the phones and use, online if you can. Avoid that social contact,
if you can. Definitely. Yeah. I wonder how many people, you know, that, you know, for all these years had a go at, you know, supposed dole bludgers, and now, you know, because of, you know, the current situations.
Good point, Bo. It's actually a really good point. You know, we all have hard times and now I guess this is the time that people are sort of looking
at. Hopefully this brings us together more. But sis, we'll go to this chat with sister girl from the UK.
Sure. Let's do that. Bridget Brennan is the ABC Europe correspondent, and she's been based over in London for about 18 months. And
Bo here, sis. Who's your mob in your country?
So from the great state of Victoria, Jajarung and Yorta Yorta.
Definitely.
And Bridget, Boris Johnson just came out and announced that there's going to be full lockdown in the UK. What did he have to say just a little while ago?
Yes, this is massive news out of the UK just breaking today, really. So Boris Johnson has just given a national address where he's announced a massive widespread lockdown. So 66 million people in the UK are now going to have to stay indoors at least for the next 3 weeks, but probably longer than that. They can only go outside to go to the shops to get some food, to go to the doctor or to go to urgent medical appointments or perhaps to go to the hospital. You can still go outside to exercise, but only once per day. And you can go and care for relatives who are unwell if you're a carer. Otherwise, you've got to stay inside. And even if you're gathering with more than two people, say, going for a walk outside to exercise, that's banned. Gatherings above two people are now banned in the UK. And what Boris Johnson said tonight was that the police are going to be enforcing these lockdowns. So this is how serious this has gotten in the UK and right across Europe.
You just said, like, with a lockdown, only two people or less, and then police will be enforcing some sort of curfew or some sort of lockdown. If people do break that, what does it look like?
How will they enforce it?
How? And then what are the repercussions?
Yeah, well, I mean, we know that, like, these measures that he's just introduced are following the kind of lockdowns that we've seen in Spain and France and Germany, Italy already, actually loads of different countries in Europe. And they've been fining people quite a lot of fines. In some of those countries, there's been thousands of fines issued. And I think police are able to take even stricter measures if they need to. So this is pretty draconian. It is pretty tough. Mm. But this is what these European governments are saying is needed to get people to understand how serious this is.
And speaking of Europe, places like Spain and Italy have been absolutely inundated with cases. What's happening as far as Europe is concerned? What's coming out of the EU and that type of stuff?
Yeah, well, each day that just brings more and more tragic stories out of Spain and Italy particularly, but also France, where there are loads and loads of deaths also happening on a daily basis. In Italy, more than 60,000 cases. That is just staggering. Mm. 6,000 deaths. Already we heard today crematoriums and funeral homes are inundated with bodies. It's just absolutely tragic. They can't keep up with the demand. And doctors are getting sick and nurses, health workers in hospitals in Spain. People are running out of protective gear that they need to go and treat people in these intensive care wards. Some doctors and nurses are using garbage bags, like plastic bags, over themselves because they can't get the proper PPE. And so what the World Health Organization today has been saying, that all countries need to really start producing more of this protective equipment, and it will be needed in Australia as well as cases start increasing.
For mob who have family over there, Bridget, how are they being looked after, expats?
Look, I just think it's really stressful for Australians right across Europe now, because we heard that the Australian government told all Australians all over the world to come home. And for some people, that's a huge decision to have to make when they don't know how long this is going to go on for, what the landscape in Australia looks like. I mean, we have a lot of cases in Australia also. It means perhaps leaving their friends and loved ones over here, overseas, leaving their jobs, making a really, really tough decision. But I've also been speaking to loads of people who are losing their jobs over here as well, and they're staring down the barrel of a pretty bleak future as Europe goes into lockdown for potentially many months to come.
I guess for yourself, on a personal note, when has this sort of become, you know, something where you've had to look after your own health over the last couple of days and weeks?
Yeah, well, I guess, though, like a lot of mob, I've got really bad asthma. I've had it all my life, and it's something that I've really struggled with, and I have to be on medication every day. So even though that's something obviously I deal with every day, given this is a severe respiratory illness, COVID-19, coronavirus, I've been so worried about my own health in a way that I don't usually think about, I guess. So I've been taking a lot of precautions. My husband and I, we've just been inside. I've really barely left the house, like so many people, I guess, in Australia right now. And I'm also pregnant. So I'm also in a high-risk category because there's not much research to show what can happen to little bubs inside the womb or even newborn babies. So we've had to make some tough decisions, and we've decided to come home at the end of this week. So this is our last kind of our last couple of days. Yeah.
Oh wow! So that's just it's put a complete halt on everything for you, Bridget, and congratulations as well.
Thank you. Thanks, sis.
You've just found out that you're pregnant, Bridget. So how are you feeling about that? I was listening to a podcast this morning from Norman Swan, and he was talking about pregnancy particularly and about immunising against that. What, you know, how are you feeling given that this is your first pregnancy and it's a new space and this is we're in such a trying time? How are you dealing with that?
Yeah, I'm 16 weeks now, so I've got through that awful first few months, that period, and it is. It's a difficult time. Even though you're excited, you're getting your head around bringing a new bub into the world and what that's going to look like. And probably a few weeks ago, I think I wasn't that worried about coronavirus, you know. We were watching things unfold in China and didn't really know how it was going to affect the rest of the world, even though, of course, there were travel restrictions. So, yeah, I think like everyone, things have just moved so quickly, even in the matter of just days.
Yeah.
And so I am thinking about this is not really the time, the best time to be pregnant or to bring a baby into the world. And I'm thinking of my sister, who's due to have a baby just in a couple of weeks' time, whether or not we're going to be able to visit her and whether she's going to have the support she needs.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of thinking of all sorts of pregnant women, and I'm thinking of pregnant women particularly in some of our regional and remote communities where it's already really tough to give birth on country where you want to give birth. So I'm just thinking of black women in particular at this time.
Absolutely. So over here there have been massive job losses as well, Bridget. How are the UK dealing with job losses over there? I mean, you yourself are sort of in a bit of a predicament. So,
yeah, I'm keeping my job with the ABC, so I'm pretty lucky, unlike a lot of people who I'm really feeling for, including friends and family who are losing their jobs. It's different here in the UK in that the government has announced a really what many people believe is quite a generous package to get the country through this awful time, one of the worst times since the Second World War. So to encourage businesses not to sack their workers, what the government has said is we will pay 80% of your employees' wages until you get back up on your feet. And so that's given a lot of workers some guarantees. But then, of course, like in Australia, there are a lot of people who are self-employed or they're casuals or they're on really kind of restrictive contracts, and they're not quite sure how that's going to apply to them. They'll possibly also be on the welfare system at a very difficult time.
Hey, Bridget, look, I know that you're so busy, so I really thank you for coming on and having a yarn with us on Let's Talk. Congratulations on your pregnancy, and we'll keep in touch throughout it all. But, yeah, thank you.
Thanks, guys. Take care and stay inside.
You see, Aboriginal woman, she's here to see.
Bo Spearham and Karina Hogan with Let's Talk.
And that was Aboriginal Woman by Mixed Relations. What a deadly song that is. It's been, well, this week, like you mentioned, the first part of the program, yep. So we've been yarning to Aboriginal businesses and how they're affected, due to COVID-19 outbreaks in Australia in particular. But, you know, that first part of the program, we had a chat to Bridget, who is ABC's Europe correspondent. And Sister Girl is pregnant too, so they've made the decision to come back here. Where I guess maybe it's as intense as it is.
She never intended on coming back, but she thinks it's the best for her and baby, and the fact that she's got asthma, which a lot of mob have got. So if you're listening and you do have asthma or you do live with a chronic disease, just be aware that you are quite vulnerable in this time. So just be extra careful. You know, that stuff of washing them hands for at least 20 seconds, keeping that social distancing, not leaving the house unless it is absolutely essential.
If you do need to leave, you know, and if you do have these chronic illnesses and you do need to seek medical attention, please call your local AMS for further instructions. And if it's anything else other than that, you know, try and work around that. Obviously, you know, people need food. People need, you know, the essentials.
Yeah. If you can order it in, order it in. And as we heard this morning, Senator Linda Burney speaking about getting online. And also calling in as well to Centrelink rather than going into those big lineups and putting yourself at risk. There's also a coronavirus hotline, 1-800-020-080. And I suppose, Bo, I wanted to have a yarn with Bridget as well, just to give us a global perspective on what's going on. Because at the moment, the total number of cases have surpassed 350,000 people worldwide.
Yes.
And 1,500 fatalities.
Mm-hmm. And as we heard from her as well, they're going into lockdown.
They're going into full lockdown as of today. Yeah.
Only essential if you really, really need to leave home for appointments,
and that may
for
be
shopping.
Us at some point.
And she mentioned that if there are, it's only two people or less that are, you know, allowed to, you know, go out. Yep. If not, there'll be infringement and enforcement from police as well.
Yeah.
So that's going to be interesting to see that.
If it flows onto here, because it tends to be one of those things where you just don't know. But we're continuing our yarn with black businesses this week because, you know, with all that being out of our control, Bo, you know, what can we control, I guess? And, you know, supporting and having a yarn to our businesses about how tough they're doing it so that, you know, in any way possible we can get behind them. But Troy Casey and Amanda Heyman are big in the business space, and they're from Blacklash Projects and Open House Collective up here in Brisbane. And,
It's good to have these mob on the show. Our listenership should be very familiar. We've had these mob on the program to talk about some of the stuff they do with Blacklash and also some of the stuff they're doing with Open House Collective, which is based here in West End on Vulture Street. And I'm sure they do have a digital platform where you can look at their stuff.
Yep.
But we'll yarn about that a little bit later.
Yeah, we'll get all that information.
You fellas, could you tell us your mob in your country, please?
Hi, this is Amanda Heyman. Cultural connections to Kalkadoon and Waka Waka.
And Troy Casey, Kamilaroi mob.
Shout out.
Deadly. And you fellas have 50-plus businesses on your books. Tell us, for those that don't know you and that are listening, who are Open House Collective and Blacklash Projects?
Yeah, cool. So Blacklash Projects is a creative agency. So we specialise in the curation of exhibitions, events, and festivals.
Mm-hmm.
Our prime, model of income. And then kind of off the back of a couple of events that we'd run previously, we identified a real need for a space where blackfellas can come and find all of the most contemporary gear that's out and about at the moment. I think there's so many amazing black businesses making really deadly products. And until now, It was nice to be able to come into a space and kind of try stuff on as opposed to buying online sometimes, yep. You know.
So it's a shop front, but it's also digital, isn't it?
Yeah, so we only literally have turned online or in the process of this week.
Yeah,
we do a lot of stuff through Instagram, obviously, so people can just kind of say they want a particular item through Instagram and we can, you know, sell it over the phone and post it to them. But obviously with the kind of current climate, we've had to transfer a lot of our stuff online.
Was that something you were looking at regardless before?
Totally. I mean, there's a need to have an online presence anyway, but this is the recent coronavirus has made us do it as a matter of priority versus kind of something that we wanted to do.
Obviously, there's lots of benefits, you know, from going online with the stuff that, you know, UMob do, but are there sort of some downfalls with some of the clients or some of the mob that you do work with that may, I guess, be affected if you do go digital?
A lot of the providers or the companies that we work with have a bit of an online presence themselves anyway. We don't want to compete with them. We really want to just put products on our online store that aren't necessarily widely available already online. The flow-on effects in terms of business is massive. I mean, at the moment, we're kind of, you know, open house is amazing, but, you know, we transition to online, but, you know, depending on what happens, is there still going to be a physical store, you know? It's becoming, I guess, every day it becomes more serious, kind of the implications of this coronavirus. And, you know, we don't have staff. It's a self-run business. So, you know, some of the packages that are available to support businesses, we don't fit in those criteria.
Right. So, that was going to be my question, Troy, what are you entitled to?
I think at the moment, it's kind of, as far as I've looked, and I haven't gone too deep yet, I mean, nothing really. We don't have any staff. So a lot of the concessions that are available.
So would you be considered a sole trader then?
Yeah, well, no. I mean, we've just transitioned our business into a company, but it's only just transitioned to a company. So I don't know. You know, we haven't run any kind of business through it yet. At the moment, we're operating as a family trust. So,
sure. What are you relying on to get your information from? I know there are support groups out there. Yesterday, our guest mentioned that Lisa Wadigo had a online support, coronavirus support business page. How are you guys getting your information? Are you on those pages or?
We actually have a really good accountant. Shout out to Eddie from BDO. He gives us updates all the time. He's got information sheets that he sends us so we can see exactly what we're eligible for.
Right. Yeah. Maybe we need to get Eddie on here to have a yarn and answer some questions because we're getting lots of questions. I think the issue is clarity, Troy and Amanda, which is really worrying in a time like this. I'm just looking at your Instagram page now. It looks deadly. We've got Sister Girl Ruby there wearing that deadly shirt. Auntie's Club will still flog you. So for those that don't know, where can they find you online?
Yeah, cool. So we're about to launch our online store, which will be openhousecollective.com.
Yeah.
And then Instagram's the best, you know, like I think so many people are already using that on the daily. So, you know, if they jump on Instagram.
And it's Open House West End is the name of your page?
That's correct.
Open House West End. Write that down, everybody, because you look after more than 50 Indigenous businesses and sole traders.
Yeah, totally. And, you know, whatever sales they can make at the moment are really important. You know,
I know I came into the store the other day and I bought a black flag tote bag. And I also bought a piece from Rachel Sara, a little badge, a little pink It's beautiful. I love it. You know, it's got round circles in the middle. Yeah, you know, it's beautiful. Yeah. Pink. And she's got those colours that really pop, you know. I love your store. And just looking online now, I love the colours. And also you've got some traditional basket weaving there and earrings and, great.
You name it.
Yeah, I love it. It's fantastic.
Open House is also a collaboration with local makers.
Okay.
So there are some non-Indigenous providers there as well that are local to Brisbane.
Mm.
Yeah.
And I think one of the other things to stress is, like, West End is renowned for it. It's about community, and whether it's blackfellas or just community more broadly, I think it's really important to kind of stress that, you know, support black businesses, buy blackfella books, listen and stream to black music, but also, like, support local. I think where you can, if instead of going to Coles or Woolies, if there's a local pharmacy or a local grocer or someone like that who you can buy product from as opposed to the big guys, I'd strongly encourage that, because Woolies and Coles aren't going anywhere.
Yeah, absolutely.
If we don't support local businesses, you know, holistically, I think, you know, it'll be a massive shift in what the suburbs and streets absolutely are gonna look like in 6 months' time.
I think the message that we were sending out last week when we spoke to Natalie Crom from Indigenous X was the importance of this is a time right now. There's never been a more important time to be mindful of where you're sourcing your information. And Dan Bush here from ABC Canberra mentioned that yesterday as well. This is an opportunity for mob. We have autonomy and we have choice. Just people in general in Australia. We have autonomy, we have choice. But I guess in the busyness of our days, we do what is easiest and what is served to you on a platter. At this stage, there's never been a more pertinent time to go, what am I listening to? What am I taking in? But also, look at what you're consuming, where you're going, and how you are, what you're investing your money in, your time in, because no longer are we part of this busy society anymore. Everything's come to a halt. So, a lot's out of our control, but now is the opportunity for us to use autonomy and to go out and actually source these other forms of, number one, information and also business. So, Troy and Amanda, can you give us some examples of give us some names? Name of some people who are in your stores or partnerships that you have, just so people can be mindful and maybe take down some names and have a look online and support these businesses.
Yeah, for sure.
I mentioned Rachel Zara before. She's a brilliant artist. Just, she's on the buses.
I might
there,
even just take my phone out and have a walk through the store. Like Starboo.
Yeah, take us for a walk through your store, seeing as no one can take a walk through it themselves. I love your store. It's fantastic. It's colourful and it's filled with a whole range of different things. So who have you got there?
I think he's just looking through his phone there. Just really quickly as well.
Are you there, Troy?
Yeah, I think
have we lost Troy?
Well, he just said he was looking for his phone.
I think he might have accidentally hung up on us. What do you reckon?
No, his number's still there. He just wanted to put us on hold.
Oh, he's put us on hold.
You're the clown.
Bless him. Come on, Troy.
Wait there.
He may have accidentally... I don't think that he can hear us. He may have accidentally popped us on hold.
We'll just try him again.
But I'll give you some names down there at Open House Collective.
Yeah, he must have. Yeah, you still there, Russ?
Oh, there we go. All right. There we go. See, this online thing has really got me going a bit funny. I don't know. Bo and I are in two separate studios, so it makes it even more difficult. But what you were going to do was tell us about some of the stores and businesses you have down there.
Totally. So Charbu, which is from Quandamooka country, they do amazing hand-painted bowls, print.
Oh, lovely.
All sorts of amazing different platters, wooden products that are hand-painted. We've got Muere Soaps, which is from Alice Springs, a new company that are making, like, really beautiful soaps. Delveen, Cockatoo Collins.
Who actually shut her shop down yesterday on Minjeriba, I saw there.
Correct, So we're still stocking her products. We'll chuck them up online as well for people.
I've got a couple of beautiful pillows by Delveen.
Yeah, they're amazing. We've got a range of art centres from Tungandjira, Ikunji, all from kind of central desert ways. Products from Arakoon Mob up in northern Queensland. Clothing The Gap, Banana Land, Ali Fashion, Nungla Creative, Gammon Threads. Who else have we got in here? Sacred Era Clothes.
Gammon Threads. I love Gammon Threads. They're the ones that do those shirts, you know, You Lovely, them ones. Is that the one?
Yeah, yes, that's the one. Yeah.
What about Ninuku Arts?
We've got Ninuku Arts. We've got a few earrings left as well from them. Clem and Franks, Dan Rennie, little shout out.
Hey.
Beamer Brothers got some beautiful sources in here.
Yes. Yeah, I've seen those. I didn't know that you stocked those as well.
Yeah. Kaizi's coconut oil from up Cairns, but from Torres Strait. We've got a whole range of her
Busy
products.
Busy Head.
And also,
have you got Busy Head in there?
Cool-ups. Who?
Busy Head?
Busy Head.
Busy Head Design. They've got those deadly prawn earrings. Someone said that they got them from your store.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yes.
Kookaburra. See, that just shows how many people you actually have on the books, Troy, because you've forgotten a couple of the people
House
there.
House of Dizzy's, another obvious one that we've got plenty of.
There's some deadly, they've got those deadly Aboriginal love heart earrings.
Yeah. We also stock, like, some non-Indigenous companies that support, like, Aboriginal art centres, like Magpie Goose Clothing, North Clothing, got artworks on the walls, we've got fabrics.
You were also supporting an event that I was involved in there, the Sisters Inside fundraiser that was supposed to happen on the 14th, but it was postponed. Like, so those are the things that your little space there supports. So Sisters Inside being the organisation that works with women impacted by the criminal justice system. And so it's stuff like that that have fallen by the wayside, and that we can't support in this time, you know. But what we can do is, if you're listening, you can pick this podcast up from our Facebook page or online, 98.9 Let's Talk Podcast, and have a listen and write some of them names down, and you know, even share their stuff on Facebook, on Twitter. You know, not much, like I've said a million times, there's not much that's in our control at the moment, but this is something very small and very little that we can control. And it puts a bit of a smile on your face too, you know. This artwork's beautiful.
Yeah, it's really good. Also, do you think with everything happening right now and lots of business shutting down, do you think you have an upper hand that a lot of the stuff that you make are from here? A lot of the stuff that you get, you know, from different mob are made here in Australia. So, you know, there isn't this sort of risk of, you know, having to sort of wait on the next supply of most of the stuff that you have.
Totally. I think there's, like, in this entire store outside of the vintage wear, obviously, I think there's, like, one product that isn't made in Australia in here. So in terms of, you know, supporting local businesses, supporting blackfella businesses, our ethos is as local as we can get it, as authentic as possible, and also as Australian made and sustainable as possible as well.
So in terms of actually supporting, you know, the artists on the ground in their communities, art centres in their communities, so if people were supposed to, you know, if people were going to buy from you guys throughout this whole time, you know, throughout the next couple of months or however long we're in the situation, this is actually going to be a big benefit, you know, to lots of these communities and individual artists.
For sure. And I mean, look, you know, if we have an online platform, you know, where we're selling, we've got an online store, we've got Instagram where we can continue to promote people's wares, you know, for those art centres who are in remote communities who know now there will be no visitors, it looks like events like, you know, Cairns Indigenous Art Fair, Darwin Aboriginal Art Fair, I feel as though they're not going to go ahead this year.
Oh, yeah. Look, there was actually an announcement today, and it's not been completely, it's not been formally announced, but they were talking about it this morning on AM that the Olympics at least are going to be postponed.
Possibly. Yeah. To 2021.
At least
on that as well with these communities, because I think postage is like is an essential service, so that'll still be open.
Sure.
You know, have you been talking to some of these artists and to some of these communities to say, hey, you know, keep you know, producing this, you know, producing what you have, because we can still pump it out and, you know, give yous, you know, obviously still provide yous with what we make of your their products.
Yeah, for sure. I think we just got two deliveries this week, one from Barbara, which is up in Arnhem Land, and another one is due to come from Aracoon again shortly. So, you know, we're still trying to help service some of those regional and remote communities. Mm. Some of the art centres are actually closing their doors at the moment just due to the risk of, you know, our communities, particularly in remote areas. The chances of them catching and then surviving, this virus is really real. But where we can, you know, we put our hand up to say, you know, any of those art centres, communities, artists who, you know, want support, having their wares online, we're open to that.
Yeah, awesome. Just really quickly as well, could you tell us what your online platforms are so our listeners can go there and they can buy up all this stuff and the new stuff that you get in before you just wrap up, brother?
Yeah, for sure. So the online store, which will be launched probably in the next day or two at the most, www.openhousecollective.com. Mm-hmm. Our Instagram handle is at Open House West End. And if you find any products on Instagram, just inbox us. And we can have a yarn about how we can sort out payment and getting that out to you. So,
and after this, we're going to go to a song very shortly, but after this song, we're actually going to speak to one person that has sold some of their products in your store, Sister Girl Kim Williams, and have a yarn to her about how she's been directly impacted by this. She's got some ideas around how she's going to, because as she mentioned to us, her way of expressing herself is through art, so isolating herself is going to be a real issue. So she's got some ideas around how and what artists can do to get through this difficult time. So, definitely. Hey, Troy, and I can hear baby in the background there, beautiful Bubba, because both you and new parents as well. Yeah. So this is, you know, scary uncharted territory for you guys too, I imagine.
Yeah, for sure.
Beautiful baby. Well,
how's Troy go with the nappies? No, gaming.
I do all of them. That's good. Don't you worry about
that. Make out. No, Gavin.
No, thanks for coming on this morning, bro. After all, you know, the social distancing goes away, we'll definitely have to come down to the store and catch up with your mob.
Yeah, give that baby kisses. Sure, until then, give that baby virtual kisses for me. Give me a little smack on the bottom there.
And a pinch.
Yeah, go on. Thanks.
This is our own home.
got 50 seconds.
Yeah.
Spiram and Karina Hogan with Let's Talk.
And that was Jothi Indy with My Kind of Life. You're listening to Let's Talk here on 98.9 FM.
And yes.
And we're in social isolation at the station.
We are social isolation at the station. I've got trouble saying the easiest words at the best of time.
Yeah, same.
But we were just talking with Troy Casey and Amanda Heyman before the break. They're from Blacklash and Open House Collective, and they named off some really deadly businesses there that we can get behind.
Definitely. And they also made the point that a lot of the products that they have are made here in Australia, in Aboriginal communities all over this country. So they're, you know, in a very, very privileged position. And also, you know, our buyers and us as consumers that we can buy direct from these fellas, from these communities, you know, and they can still get more stock in because, you know, everything that they have are made here in this country as well. Definitely go
with
on
over
to 50 social media.
People, they're supporting over 50 small businesses. They're teamed up with other artists from around the country.
Like, and also some white ones as well.
Yeah.
Really quickly, what are their social media platforms, sis?
So you can jump onto their Instagram page, which is at Open House West End. Mm-hmm. So at Open House West End, and that features hundreds and hundreds of photos.
And I think they're on Facebook as well at the Open House Collective.
Yes, and they've just launched a website to sell their stuff at openhousecollective.com.
That should be up hopefully tomorrow, I think they said.
Yeah.
In the next few days, stay close to their social media's page.
Instagram,
because they'll
Instagram.
An update on when they get that website up and running.
Yeah.
As well.
And as we mentioned at the beginning of the show and throughout the show, you know, there's not much in our control, Bo, at the moment. But one little thing that we can do at this time is we can, in some capacity, support our black businesses. I understand. I know.
Support, inform, you know, community about where they can go, who they can, you know, support.
Share their stuff. Read their stuff.
Listen.
Yep. Even listening to smaller black businesses or artists who have podcasts out there, you know, get out there and have a look. We've got plenty of time on our hands, unfortunately, don't
we? Definitely. Also, you know, like we will be doing a program theme basing around where to go to listen to black content as well. If you've enjoyed the program, listen to the podcast or listen to the previous programs that we've done, like yesterday or last week when we focused on health.
And we'll talk a little bit more about black business tomorrow.